Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, an entrepreneurial support organization and coworking community with locations in Valley Junction and downtown Des Moines. Learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR. Gravitate Coworking. Work better. Work together.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, I'll talk with a young woman who has turned a personal tragedy into a creative triumph. But first, the start of a new year is a time when many of us pause to reflect and resolve to make changes. A lot of us make resolutions about improving our health, moving more, losing weight, eating better. And we're going to start the hour with some advice on how to get the most out of your resolutions and how to make smart, healthy, achievable goals. We'd also love to hear from you. What have you learned from making New Year's resolutions over the years? What are you trying to do this year? Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. With me today, Nicole Kennedy, Director of Operations for Live Healthy Iowa, an organization that facilitates wellness challenges for Iowans. Hello, Nicole.
Hi there.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's an exciting opportunity.
And Jackie Schwartz is also with us, clinical dietitian at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Hello, Jackie.
Hi.
Thank you for being here.
And thank you so much for having me.
This morning, we were greeted with news that Iowa is now the fourth heaviest state in the country. The Iowa Department of Public Health says that the obesity rate in Iowa climbed from 32% in 2016 to over 36% in 2017. That's the steepest increase in more than a decade. Nicole, when you maybe you had a little bit of a preview of that news when it was coming out, but what's your reaction to learning that?
Gosh, you know, it's a little disheartening just because of, you know, all the work that we've been doing. But we do also know that, you know, it's been gradual over time, and it's going to take us a long time to kind of right the ship. It's not something that's going to change overnight. So I feel hopeful because I do know of great work that's happening in our state and all the great things that are going on. And so I guess I don't get too upset about it just because I know that there are a lot of things happening, and I think that it's something that we can overcome and improve on.
And you mentioned that it's disheartening. Of course, these statistics in the long run don't necessarily mean a whole lot, but what do you think it does mean?
You know, it all comes down to, you know, really it's personal responsibility and people caring enough to kind of make changes in their own lives. And, you know, it's all those things really add up in our population. So we can't necessarily, you know, just dictate things and say this is how it's going to go, because it does require everyone to kind of make those individual changes and decide that that's how they want to, you know, live a healthier life. You know, some of the great things that are happening, you know, you see environmental changes around us and policy changes that are going to help to support those individual things, or really it's going to help to make the healthy choices the easy choices. And as some things like that change, I think it'll be easier for people. It'll become more of a way of life, those healthy things, and I think that's going to be a positive thing in the long run.
Now, Jackie, I know a lot of people come to you with serious food issues, serious diet issues, weight problems. When you read news like that, what is your response?
It's something that I think we really need to be aware of prevention. You know, in the diet world right now, there's so many diets out there that you can do that try to tackle the problem once it's gone too far. And I'm really hopeful that both in the medical setting and, you know, for people personally, that they really focus on prevention. And as we said, making this part of a lifestyle versus an easy fix. And I think we just have to be aware that we can make these changes. It's going to just take some work and knowing what those resources are to help get that work done.
I want to talk with both of you about what to do when we make goals here at the beginning of the year. But let's start with a few pitfalls, because, you know, often with the new year, a lot of us get excited about making new goals and maybe set goals that aren't really realistic or achievable. Nicole, what do you think some of the pitfalls that people really fall into are?
You know, I would say, and I'm probably one of them that does that. Maybe I'm learning over time. But I think, you know, that new year time frame gives us that feeling of a clean slate, start over, you know, all these things I want to do better or be better at. But we have to sort of, I think, also take a step back in that and understand that, you know, this has to be something that becomes part of our lifestyle, and it's something that we want to continue doing long term, which means that it may not be, you know, as grandiose as we see it, or the changes may not come as quickly as we want them to come. So I think having some patience and knowing that it is long term, you know, looking a ways out and not just a couple weeks, so being willing to really commit to it, and you know, I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. What do you think, Jackie? What are some of the pitfalls that you see people falling into?
Yeah, that was a great point. Another thing I'll encourage people to do, instead of coming into the new year with here's 10 things I'm going to change about my life, I'm going to change the way I eat, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to, you know, the list could go on and on. A lot of times I'll encourage people to pick one thing. What is one thing that's going to have an impact in a lot of those areas? For a lot of people, it's time management. I hear over and over again, I don't have time to go to the grocery store. I don't have time to cook meals. We all have the same 24 hours in the day. It's figuring out how you're going to prioritize, and maybe time management makes it easier for you to get to the gym or makes it easier for you to put some more time and thought into your meal preparation. So taking a step back from let's redo the whole system and change my whole life to what's one area that I can really impact to make that lifestyle change.
All right. Well, let's talk about putting these goals down on paper and really coming up with something that's achievable, but also really beneficial. Nicole, I know that you're a big fan of SMART goals. Talk us through that. How do you set SMART goals?
Yeah, with SMART goals, it's an acronym. And so what we want to look for is with the S, specific. So be specific in your goal. You can't make something really broad. All of these things are going to help us to know whether we achieved the goal. So being specific in your goal will help you to know exactly where you're at. The M stands for measurable. Make sure that there's some kind of measurement, again, so you know whether you've achieved the goal or how far you've made progress toward it. Attainable would be the A, and that would be, you know, certainly we want to pick something that we can achieve. We have the power to achieve. We all probably have those things out there that we, you know, sort of more wishes, but we want to make sure that it's within our grasp. It's something we can acquire. The R is realistic. So, again, understanding our constraints, you know, understanding the time we do have in a day, the other responsibilities we have, what is realistic for us to achieve. And then T would be time-bound. So putting a time frame on it, you know, say if it's a year out, if it's 3 months out, you know, things like that. And then I would also say to that also with time-bound, if it's a year-out goal, you're also setting little goals along the way to maybe help you get to that, because that's a long way to go for that. But I think, you know, kind of breaking it down in that way really helps us to sort of understand that, put a little more thought into our goal, and, you know, it really makes something that's a little more achievable for us.
I know a lot of us make weight loss goals this time of year. And Jackie, I'd love to hear your thoughts about weight loss goals. A lot of us put a lot of stock in that number on the scale. When we know that we need to lose weight, how do we set a goal that really takes into account that number doesn't always reflect our progress?
You're exactly right. That number isn't the whole story. We'll talk a lot about non-scale victories. That's things, you know, how are you feeling? How are your clothes fitting? We usually start with a really big number. I want to lose 50 pounds. I want to lose 100 pounds. As Nicole said, start with some smaller goals there and try to make it really specific. In addition to setting that goal, you really have to spend some time figuring out how you're going to get there and how you're going to make that happen. Having a goal is great, but if you don't figure out how to get to that goal or get to your end point, you're just going to keep fighting the battle. And then giving yourself some grace. Yeah, you can set a timeline, you know, a year, 6 months, whatever that might look like. But just be aware that maybe you haven't reached that goal, but making progress is still a really, really great thing. And you do have to look at some of those non-weight measures to keep yourself motivated and on track.
Do you recommend, for example, measuring your arms, measuring your legs, that kind of thing, so that you have an idea of how your body is changing other than that number on the scale?
That depends on the person. Different people are motivated by different things. If your arms are really what you're focused on, I would suggest asking for some help, because you can measure in just a tiny bit, little bit different area and get a completely different number. That's definitely something that someone in your doctor's office can help you with at the weight loss center. you know, having some help with that. Maybe it's a body composition versus just your total weight to look at how your body is changing. You might not be losing a lot of weight, but maybe you're losing fat and changing muscle. As I mentioned, your clothes, how your clothes fit is another way to measure. You have to figure out what's really going to be motivating for you.
And with different people, our bodies respond in different ways. Do you find that there are some people who drop pounds easily and others who seem to be making progress, but that number on the scale is pretty stubborn?
Absolutely. We hear it all the time with men and women comparing themselves with each other. Men can tend to lose weight a little bit more quickly. Women, it's a little bit slower process. And sometimes that's figuring out what the best plan is for you and how to make some changes. You can't stick to the same diet day after day after day. Your body needs different things each day, and sometimes it's switching it up a little bit. And if you know you're going to get frustrated with that scale, I definitely recommend finding a different measure.
All right. Also, with scales, I find if I weigh myself, I can weigh 3 or 4 more pounds by the end of a day than I do in the morning. I mean, do you have some guidelines for how to use scales so that at least you can glean reasonable information from that?
Absolutely. First of all, use the same scale. You'd be amazed at how much variation you can find from one scale to the next. The other thing, too, is try to be consistent about when you weigh yourself. So if you weigh yourself in the morning and you weigh yourself at the end of the day, there could be a 3 to 5 pound difference there depending on the person. I also don't recommend that people weigh themselves every day, especially if you're a person who easily gets obsessed with that number, just because there can be so much fluctuation throughout the day. Maybe you pick Monday morning is going to be your day to weigh, and that's the start to your week. If the weekend's a little bit tougher, maybe you think of a different day so that it's not so disheartening if you know that that number is not going to be what you want it to be. But try not to be obsessive and overdo it.
All right. And with those goals, we talked about having timelines and mini victories. Some people, again, I want to focus on this because I think a lot of us really get hung up on that number. Do you recommend maybe not setting a specific number for the goal?
Yeah. And again, that depends on the person. If a number is what's going to motivate you, start small. Maybe it's 1 pound a week. A 0.5 pound to 1 pound a week is really great weight loss. And that's not what we want to see. We want to see that weight come off a lot faster.
All right,
so just being aware of that.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking to Jackie Schwartz, clinical dietitian at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines, and Nicole Kennedy, director of operations for Live Healthy Iowa, an organization that facilitates wellness challenges for Iowans. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
I was elected the majority leader.
This amendment broadens the scope of the bill.
What will this bill do to turn that around?
During the legislative session, Iowa Public Radio produces a weekly podcast.
We just want to make sure that it is something that is sustainable.
These are proven programs that work.
From committees to chambers, follow the path of bills and policies.
This bill lays out transparency in the process.
How can you say that with confidence?
The podcast, Under the Golden Dome, returns in January. Subscribe now for the 2019 legislative session.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I'll talk with University of Iowa student Erica Cole, who lost her leg in a car accident last spring and is now launching a new company inspired by that loss. That's coming up in a few minutes. Right now, we're talking about New Year's resolutions, setting smart goals, staying on track. And we'd love to hear from you about your resolutions, or maybe you don't make resolutions anymore. We'd love to hear your thoughts, what you've learned from your experience. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with me today, Jackie Schwartz, clinical dietitian at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines, Nicole Kennedy, director of operations for Live Healthy Iowa, an organization that facilitates wellness challenges for Iowans. And Nicole, of course, we're getting close to the launch of your Live Healthy Iowa 10-week challenge. It launches on January 14th. People can still sign up through January 28th. And there is a small fee for signing up, but this is something that you've been doing for a number of years. For people who don't know about the Live Healthy Iowa Challenge, first of all, describe how it works.
Yeah, the challenge is coming up, so we're very excited about that. We've been around since 2002 offering this program to Iowans, so it's been a great opportunity to connect with many people across the state. But essentially, it's a team-based challenge that people are tracking weight loss and or physical activity through the 10-week program. and they can provide accountability and support to each other through that. It's kind of a level of friendly competition, but really a great way to kick off the new year and give them a fun environment to do that in a healthy way.
Well, and let's talk about the team aspect of that, because that's something that we're learning really helps people achieve their goals, to have that accountability, to have that emotional support from a team. Why do you think that this is important in meeting people's goals?
I personally think accountability is huge. I think that any opportunity that we have to share our goals with a supportive group around us that can help us through that is great. Not only can they cheer you on as you make progress towards your goal, but they're also there to provide support when maybe things don't go quite right. So they're celebrating successes with you, but also, you know, getting through those obstacles, providing support when maybe today's just not a great day, and letting you know that tomorrow's going to be a new day. So I think it's huge. You know, with any goals, I would say be sure that you're sharing those with a supportive group around you to provide you that accountability. So it's great. We love the team component of this challenge.
Yeah, Jackie, I'd love to hear your thoughts about that. Because obviously, working with people who are trying to lose weight, you provide some accountability as you help people set goals. But there's so much shame associated with dealing with a big problem like this. How can you get past that and find a healthy way to talk about your goals?
Yeah, I really encourage people to find, if whoever it is that you're talking to about it, someone that you're comfortable with, if you go to your primary health care provider and you don't feel that they're supportive or that that's a safe place that you can get help with that, get another opinion. At Mercy's Weight Loss and Nutrition Center, we've got a whole group of people there that's what we do all day, every day, and we try to really have a good community to help. Sometimes I'm someone's cheerleader and sometimes I'm their coach. I think they're two very different things. Do you need me just to help cheer you on with where you're at, or do you need a little bit more of a kick in the butt to start to make some serious changes? But you said it right on. Accountability is huge, and finding that support system is important. We live in a world that does not make it easy to live a healthy lifestyle, so the more help you can get, the better.
Do you recommend that people make their goals public in some way, or at least let the people around them know what they're doing?
Yeah, let somebody know, whatever you're comfortable with. That might be one other person, that might be blasting it on social media, whatever works for you. But when you put it out there, it's more than just an idea in your head, and you've got people to help keep you on track, whether that's a boost when you're, you know, not having a great day, as Nicole said, or if you just need somebody to help drag you to the gym, if that's your goal.
Well, and Nicole, a lot of the Live Healthy Iowa Challenge has to do with tracking movement. You don't have to have a fitness tracker to be involved in it, but there are a lot of ways that fitness trackers get integrated into it. How do you feel about fitness trackers? I mean, it feels like almost everybody seems to have one these days. Do you think that they help people meet their goals?
I think that the fitness trackers are a great way to, you know, keep yourself accountable, have an easy way to collect the data and an easy reference to see where you're at. I don't think that should be a barrier for anyone who isn't using one or doesn't have one to be participating. Excuse me. Tracking generally, I think, is you have to track yourself. I mean, anytime you're moving from point A to point B, you have to sort of be able to assess your progress and know where you're at. And I think tracking gives us that great feedback. So, you know, whether or not that's just keeping a journal, you know, tracking activity, things you're doing, the foods you're eating, things like that, but or you're tracking using a device, I think it's a great way to sort of know where we're at on the spectrum. And know how far we've come or how far we yet need to go. So again, I mean, I think everybody's different, so I think different trackers work for different people. But we certainly have a lot of opportunity right now in this marketplace. There's a lot of opportunities, a lot of things to be able to find what works best for you.
Do you use a fitness tracker?
You know, I personally don't. I was just thinking the other day that I might get a Fitbit, just because it seems kind of fun. My daughter got one for Christmas, and she's been pretty attached to it, and she's been pretty enthusiastic about watching those numbers and sort of seeing how she can change that with putting some more activity time in to what she's doing. So I think that's a great piece of awareness for her. And I do think having that device available to you and quick reference does allow you to kind of know where you're at during the day. You know, have I not moved as much today as I did yesterday, or do I need to move more today? And being able to kind of break those goals down into a daily process.
What do you think, Jackie? Are fitness trackers something you encourage the people that you work with to use?
If it's something that works for them, absolutely. It just brings more intention to your movement throughout the day. I use an Apple Watch for my fitness tracker, and it's constantly on my home screen. I can tell if I've been sitting more that day or haven't been moving. The holidays were a great example. I was not in my normal routine and my movement went down. It was a great reminder that I need to get up and do something just to move my body a little bit more.
When you help people set weight loss goals, there's so much out there as far as diet goes. I mean, we have a different diet that seems to be the most popular one pretty much every year. How do you feel about those diets?
At most diets, at the heart of them, it all comes back to basic healthy nutrition. It's just usually put in a little bit different way. Keto, I would say, is the big kick right now. It's not my favorite diet. I think it can cause some serious health issues if done correctly. Most people I see who do the keto diet are not doing it correctly, and they're actually just following a low carbohydrate diet, which in turn is more often than not a more moderate carbohydrate diet compared to what we normally take in. Whole foods, watching your portion size, and just being mindful of your body and why you're eating, you know, listening for that true physical hunger is really what it all comes down to.
So when you help somebody come up with a dietary plan, how do you do that?
I try to meet them where they're at. I can sit down and give someone a meal plan. A lot of people ask for that. More often than not, they're not happy with it. They don't like the same kind of foods that I eat. It's not something that they'll make. The first thing that I do really is assess what their normal is and what kind of foods they typically eat, and then how can we start to make small changes there. If I have someone who is a mom and is making meals for their kids, I might approach that completely differently than if I've got someone who's 19 years old doing their own thing and maybe a little bit more active. So it's really just assessing where the person is at and then starting to make changes from there.
And when you come up with that plan, then have you noticed what helps people succeed with it as far as, does a food diary seem to help people succeed?
A food diary can be very helpful. It's the same thing with those fitness trackers. You know, it's another way to be accountable. A lot of people say, oh, I don't want to write it down. It wasn't that great of food. Well, it doesn't make any difference if you write it down or not. It's really being honest to yourself. Some people, that gives them a little bit more negative relationship with food, or it's really stressful to track everything. So maybe for them, we just tackle planning. Here's how you want to eat. These are the types of foods that you want to eat. How do we make that happen? And a lot of times that starts at the grocery store. So we'll do a lot of planning starting with grocery shopping.
And you talk about people with kids. I mean, most of us don't have 100% control over the food in our lives, or at least we're exposed to other people eating other kinds of things. How do you help people navigate that?
Yeah, just trying to do the best that you can and being a good role model and offering those better choices. If a kid has an option between chips or fruit, yeah, they might choose the chips sometimes, but you've got those healthier options there for them. And kids really learn from parents who model those behaviors as well. So just doing the best that you can.
Well, and so many of us have complicated relationships with food. And we've talked a lot about weight loss, although there are many people who struggle on the other side as well, who have eating disorders where they limit their food too much. How do you help people explore their relationship with food, understand that relationship with food?
It starts with just asking some questions and what that relationship looks like. And a lot of times it goes back to habits as a child. You know, if you were part of the clean your plate club, as we call it, and those are still habits that you have now, you know, why was that? Was money tight? Was it someone telling you to do that? You're an adult now. You can make your decisions with what you're doing on your plate and what you're eating, and just kind of starting to go from there. And just asking for help if you need it. When you get into some more disordered eating patterns, it's a really hard thing to tackle on your own. And just knowing resources, not being afraid to, you know, to reach out to that support, as we talked about before, to get some help with that.
We're talking about New Year's resolutions, how to make smart goals, how to stay on track if fitness or diet is part of your New Year's resolution. We'd love to hear from you as well. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. With me, Jackie Schwartz, clinical dietitian at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines, and Nicole Kennedy, director of operations for Live Healthy Iowa. And how do you feel, Jackie, when you help people set goals, about the ratio or the balance between movement and diet?
It kind of starts with, where can you make the biggest change now? When it comes to weight loss, honestly, diet is the biggest thing. Exercise is really important for getting that weight off and keeping it off, and also just general health as well. More often than not, I can see people make significant changes with their weight, if that's their primary goal, just by making changes with their food intake.
Interesting. And a lot of us, especially right here at the beginning of the year, will jump into a diet where we're really restricting calories a lot, because we do want to see that fast result. We want to see that number change on the scale. Now, you mentioned earlier, Jackie, that slower weight loss is better. What makes it better?
Yeah. So if you go into a crash diet where you're really restricting yourself, the odds are that you're not going to be able to stick with that long term. Yes, the weight might come off really quickly. And for some people, that's the motivating start that they need to keep going. If that's the case for you, that's great. But just being okay with slower changes, if you lose it really quickly, it's more likely to come on a lot quicker as well once you get back to what your normal eating was like before. The slower that weight comes off, usually that means you're making slower changes, which are more sustainable long-term, and you're going to be able to keep that weight off better.
866-780-9100 is the number to call. Jonathan is on the line in Des Moines. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello. I'm a personal chef. Hello?
Yeah, go on.
Great. Okay, I'm a personal chef. I work for a company called Friend That Cooks, and we are specialized chefs dealing with a lot of what your nutritionist there is talking about. We deal with people who are into keto, into paleo, all that kind of stuff. A couple of things that people need to understand from a chef's perspective, we approach things a little bit more practically than the science of dietitians. People need to understand that it takes 40 to 45 days just to change a habit. And a lot of people do 30 days worth of dietary cleansing, and then they go back and start gaining their weight back, or they go back into their old habits, and they fail to make a plan that's long enough to actually be effective. And like she said, a lot of people that start keto or diets, they started haphazardly without really understanding the ramifications of, you have to change your diet. You have to change what you like and how you eat it. And so that's just my input.
Yeah.
I deal with this on a daily basis.
Well, Jonathan, thanks so much for bringing that up. And Jackie, you were saying that earlier, that we need to change our relationship with food. And a lot of us do think, okay, I can do this for 30 days. But after that 30 days, a lot of us gain the weight right back. So jumping off from what Jonathan was talking about, how do you talk to people about long-term changes?
Yeah, I've seen people that 30 days is enough. You know, once they stay away from it for a while, they're good to go. And as Jonathan said, some people need a little bit more time. I think it's more just recognizing your comfort level and how you feel. If you're not ready to walk into a tempting situation, maybe that's a buffet. If you don't feel that you can walk into a buffet and make good food choices and not overdo it on something that you know is really tempting for you, maybe that's not the good time to walk into that space until you feel a little bit more confident and comfortable with yourself and the behaviors that you've established.
Well, and that putting the weight back on is something that I've seen so many people go through, where they've lost a lot of weight and they've achieved their goals, and it just comes back on so easily, so quickly. How do you talk to people about long-term maintenance?
The biggest thing is recognizing the triggers that get you off track in the first place. The holidays, we just went through those. That's a great example. A lot of times we use that as, you know, going overboard. I'm having this. It's just once a year. That's great, but you better be ready to get back to it right after that. And try to get through that within reason. That doesn't mean that you eat anything and everything that's put in front of you. Go ahead and indulge in some things, especially, I'm sure there's foods that are traditions for people. Indulge in that in a smart, maybe portion controlled way. And don't let that set you off for the rest of the month so that you have to start all over. Pick a day, have something that's, you know, not your normal, but then just get right back to that lifestyle that you had set for yourself.
And this time of year, there's so much advertising about New Year's resolutions trying to sell us wellness products, and they really can make us feel inadequate, make us feel really bad about ourselves, which is not a great place to start. Jackie, do you have a little bit of parting advice for people on how to deal with that emotionally, but still make healthy changes?
Yeah, maybe start small. Instead of setting a New Year's resolution that you've got the whole year to try to hit, maybe just pick one thing each day that you can do to try to improve from the day before. And if it didn't work, sit down and think, why didn't it? And what can I do the next day to make that go a little bit better?
And Nicole, I know we mentioned your challenge, your 10-week challenge is kicking off on January 14th. Do you have any advice for people on navigating this time of year and making healthy choices?
You know, I would say don't be too hard on yourselves. You know, obviously we're always trying to be better, better ourselves, learn more. But, you know, start with those goals, those simple, easy goals. And, you know, work hard. Find an accountable support system. People are going to help you to do that. Celebrate your successes. Know there's going to be obstacles, but just continue on knowing that, you know, you're striving for a healthy lifestyle long term. You know, we're not just going for 30 days. We want something long term. And just knowing that in the end, it'll be a healthier you.
Thank you so much, Nicole Kennedy, Director of Operations for Live Healthy Iowa. And Jackie Schwartz, thank you.
Thank you.
Jackie Schwartz, clinical dietitian at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.